We are blessed as a church to have so many young children. Wow, what exciting times. And if you want to hold one, then I'm sure these mothers gladly pass their kids around for you to hold them during church. And so thank you for those who do that. And we are blessed as a church for each one of these children. And thank you, parents, for your work in raising them. But we're raising them as a community. And so trust that we, the church, might be able to support our parents in their pursuit of raising godly kids. And so thank you for our Connect teachers who play a part in that as well. And so we're blessed as well. You ever feel sometimes like you're one of those plate spinners that you've seen those people that spin their plates and keep them on the end of a pole, and you try and keep the plates all spinning? And sometimes you feel like that, and the various things that are going through your head and your heart, and that you're trying to balance it all and keep it spinning. Well, sometimes I feel like that as well, trying to remember everything. People bring me up announcements, and I'm hoping that I get them all in a correct order and remember all the things that I'm trying to remember and not going through my head. But those are just some of the things that go through your head. And then to get that telephone call this morning that about Norm, and that kind of hit me. He made it a point to come to our house and play games with us when he was here. And so we had a lot of fun times together. And what a blessing. So, anyways, I want to speak this morning on the church, the sender. And we've been going through a series on the church recently, and as I was trying to factor what to share on, and this came to my mind, and that we, the body of Christ, the church, one of the responsibilities that God has given to us is the ministry of sending people out. And what a blessing we have, and that we, over the years, have been able to do that from this church. And we are blessed to support many who have gone out from this church. If you look at the book of Acts, chapter 9, you will see there the conversion of Saul there on the Damascus Road. And as he spent those 3 days in blindness in the city, God laid his hand upon Ananias to go and speak to Paul and to put his hands. Can you just imagine the fear that he had? Because he'd heard the rumors, he'd heard the stories, he'd seen what Paul was about, and now God was calling him to go lay his hands upon this gentleman. And as he responded back and forth with God on that occasion in chapter 9, what God shared with him is that the ministry that he was giving to Paul was for him to go to the Gentiles. The word of God was going to move out from Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and was going to go to the ends of the earth. And Paul was going to be involved in that ministry. But now as we come to chapter 13, 10 years have passed. Wow. God's call on Paul's life 10 years previous was to go to the Gentiles. But over those 10 years, God had been developing and ministering in Saul's life to bring him to that place that we're going to read about this morning in chapter 13. And even Jesus, before he returned to heaven, gave a command or gave some instructions to his disciples. And one of them is that they would remain in Jerusalem until such time as the Holy Spirit came in power upon them. They were to wait for the coming of the Spirit. Because if they were going to go out and minister, they needed to do it in the power of the Spirit. And so we read in Luke 24:49, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And so in the act of sending them out, sending the apostles out, sending Saul out, they would be not going in their own power, their own strength. They were going to go out under the power of the Holy Spirit. The first 12 chapters of Acts reflect the ministry of the apostles in the ministry of the gospel going across Jerusalem, across Judea, and across Samaria. And now as we come to chapter 13, we're going to see now God's call that the gospel might move beyond those borders and might move out into the world. And God's heart throughout the Bible has always been for the world. Yes, his ministry was extensively with the Jewish people, but God's heart was that the Jewish people would take the gospel beyond their own borders and would share it with the world. And so now we're going to read this morning here shortly of him purposefully doing that. The gospel comes to the city of Antioch because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen. And so many of the people who fled that area moved down to Antioch, and they shared the gospel in the synagogues and with the Jewish people there. So a large contingent came to know the Lord there of the Jewish people. But then we also read in chapter 11 where Luke mentions that several came from Cyrene and Cyprus to Antioch and shared the gospel with the Greek-speaking people in that city. A church was established in that city. It was one of the third largest cities in the Roman Empire. One account I read said it could have been as many as 500,000 people in that city. Another account I read, maybe 200,000. And so maybe they count people like we see people counting for different riots and things going on in the streets today. They always seem to get some, throw a number out, and I'm not sure how they get to that number. But it was a large city. But it was a city also that was known for pagan idolatry and licentious behavior. It was a multicultural city, a commercial city, a city of great means. And yet into this setting, God sent his people and a church was established. And if we looked at choice places to go, maybe you wouldn't mention or you wouldn't look at the city of Antioch. I'd rather go somewhere maybe a little bit smaller. But God had a purpose for the city of Antioch, the church. His church would be established in this city. And this church was soon to be known as a missionary hub, and it would overshadow the Jerusalem church as a sending church. They became known as a sending church, a church that sought to move the gospel out beyond their borders to the world. And so if you have your Bibles open, let's begin reading here in chapter 13. And I want to read the first five verses this morning. Acts chapter 13, and let's look at the first five verses. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. As we continue our series on the church, the Antioch church demonstrates to us that one of the two important functions of the local church is that they might be the sender and that they might also be the provider. God called out two of their members from their midst to go, but he was also calling the others that they might remain and continue. We're not sure how large the church was at this time. We know that around the year 400, AD, there could have been as many as 100,000 people in the church in Antioch at that time. But here he mentions five men for us. And we're not sure if it's an extensive list, but at least Luke here mentions these five men for us. That God gave this church those who were prophets, but also those who were teachers. And he mentions for us Barnabas, who was introduced to us back in Acts 4:36. And his name was Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth. The disciples gave him the name of Barnabas, as he was gifted as an encourager. He was the one who took Saul in when he returned to the city of Jerusalem and introduced him to the apostles, the disciples. Secondly, we see Simeon, who is called Niger. And Niger, by definition, means black. And so he was probably a black African by descent, who was one of the leaders of this church. Lucius came from a city in North Africa, came from the city of Cyrene. And so in modern day, that would be in the country of Libya. And so he came over, and maybe he was one of the group that came over that we read about in Acts chapter 11. Mannion was raised in the environment of the evil Herodian line. He was either a friend or the foster brother of Herod, and he would have had a privileged upbringing. And so he would have brought a new dynamic to this core leadership. And then we read of Saul, who was brought by Barnabas to Antioch from Tarsus. And we read about, and we know his background in preparation for ministry. And so these five were together seeking to minister in and through the Antioch church. The five did not allow their differences to interfere with their cohesiveness. Yes, they came from different backgrounds. And they came from different social economic backgrounds, different ethnicities. But yet they continued and they worked together in cohesion one with another. They didn't allow racism. They didn't allow that to come in and be practiced in their midst. But they were ministering daily in the church. But the focus of their ministry was to the Lord. And so, yes, they were ministering to the people in that city, a large city. But the focus of their ministry was that it was to the Lord. And so they were seeking to be faithful to him as their for him to be their focus and their approval in ministry. They were looking to the empowering of the Holy Spirit to bring fruit from their word of prophecy and teaching. Their ministry was to God, was through God, and was from God. Their fasting was evidence of their heart desire that God would work through them, and the results would be from him, and he would get the glory. It was a difficult city, and probably a lot of similarities to what we face today in our multi-ethnic country that we call Canada today. What a privilege we have for the world to come to us. And so they were ministering in a setting quite similar to maybe our situation as well. They were each gifted and well capable to minister to the church, but they wanted the church to see and know the power of God. Their fasting was evidence of their heart's desire. And so as they sought to minister, they had a passion that God might be able to work through them. And oh, if we would see the power of God working through us, if we but submit to him and what he desires from us. The result of their ministry was that considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. They were not only brought, but they were also taught. And so, yes, they were a church that was seeking to win the lost, but they were also a church that was seeking to disciple them as well and to bring them along. When word came that there would be a coming great famine, those that had means in the church determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren. So the gospel was impacting how they practiced their faith. The gospel was not only a static truth of their identity, but was working itself out in how they lived their lives. The gospel has to go deeper than just that I'm a believer and making a statement. If I am a believer, then the gospel, the indwelling presence of God dwells within me, and it needs to be worked out in our lives. And God directs, God leads in how that gets worked out. Whether he gives us opportunity in our job sites to be able to live out the gospel by word, but also by deed as well. Oh, that the gospel would impact our lives and be worked out. They understood that the gospel is living and active and is life-changing. So what is the impact of the gospel in our lives as we reflect on that this morning? We call ourselves a child of God. We call ourselves a believer. Have we ever stopped to say, how is that impact in my life? How do I do things differently? How am I in business different because God indwells me? If I'm a student, how do I study and how do I write exams as a reflection of the gospel indwelling me? Is the gospel impacting our lives? While they were ministering, the Holy Spirit spoke to the leadership of the church. The Holy Spirit told them that they were to separate from their midst Barnabas and Saul to a work that he had called them to. I'm not sure how large the ministry was at this time, but it had only grown over the past months, and I'm sure the need for workers had only grown. Can you just imagine when this coming along, when they're trying to find Connect teachers, and they're trying to find different people for different ministries in their people to be involved in the ministries of their church, and all of a sudden have God come along and say, I want you to take and remove two from your midst. Oh God, you're really starting to hamstring me on this one, aren't you? You're starting to hamstring the ministry. But the Holy Spirit is sovereign and in control. I'm not sure how large that ministry was, but it sure wasn't a great time for God to all of a sudden remove two. The two that the Holy Spirit were asking for were valuable individuals and would have had their days full of ministry and more opportunities awaiting their attention. This call of God for two of their workers did not make sense from all that was happening in the Antioch church. It could be easy to bargain with God for two others. Well, God, how about these two other individuals? Their plate isn't full. Why don't you take them? And often when it comes to that, we bargain with God. And it wasn't the best time for the Lord to call them out. It would have been easier and less intrusive if he had given the call to Saul to go while he was still in Tarsus. Or maybe he had given the call to Barnabas while he was still in Jerusalem. That would have sure been a lot better time. The call upon Barnabas and Saul came to them individually, but also the church to separate them out. The church was to be involved in sending them out. Barnabas and Saul were not sitting on the sidelines with their call to the mission field waiting for that when it made sense for them to go. They were heavily involved until God, such time as God actively removed them. And I'm sure maybe Saul would have understood, maybe he had connected with Ananias about maybe what God was going to direct him to. But over these 10 years, he'd been seeking to prepare for this time in his life. When the call came, the church did not delay, but continued in fasting and prayer before they laid their hands upon them and sent them away. The church sought to be involved as part of their ministry. The ministry was not their ministry, but the Lord's, and they knew that it was his provision that had brought them thus far, and it would be him for whatever was in the future. And I'm sure the other three that were going to be left behind say, wow, thus far God has led us, and into the future God will continue to lead us. He will have to do that, and he will have to empower us with two less. They would be going out from their midst, but not from their team. And God was going to bless them and expand the ministry of the Antioch church by carrying their ministry into Asia. God in his sovereign grace had called out these two to go out, but God was also sovereignly calling the three the remaining to stay and uphold Barnabas and Saul. Yes, God specifically spoke to them, I've called them out. But the three that were going to remain were still actively being empowered by the Spirit as well, and God hadn't called them to go. But I'm sure the call upon them was just as important, that they might be faithful in the work that God had called them in the local church, that they might continue to minister in the power of the Spirit. Often our quest upon missionaries is for them to share their call to ministry. And it is exciting to hear how they came to the place of believing that God's call upon their life was to go. And God often uses means and people to direct us. And he often uses the church to confirm the call upon one of their members. And as I reflect upon my life, God allowed my family to have a missionary couple that we got to know. And I heard their stories and I got excited. Because my dreams of those days were, wow, I dreamed about being a police officer, I dreamed about being a fireman, and all those great, noble tasks. But yet, God seemingly separated me out, that I was to go. But I don't necessarily know whether I actually heard, got a voice from God saying, well, I want you to go to Papua New Guinea. I just felt led from the Lord over time, through means, through people, to that I was to go. The thought that came to my mind when asked was that they might share in God's leading them to stay and to do the ministry that they are involved in. We often, we seek missionaries, tell me your call to the mission field. And often my heart would be to share, well, how about you share with me your call that you were to remain and be involved in the ministry that you were involved in? How did you get involved in Connect Ministry? How did you get involved in the youth ministry? Share with me your calling for that. Because that is just as valuable and just as important, that somebody might be involved in that ministry. And so these three that were to remain, their ministry was just as valuable as Barnabas and Saul, except God was calling those two to go. When Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, a disciple was mentioned to him by the brethren. And so if you look into Acts 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek, and he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. It was like the believers were in conversation with Paul, wanting him to be aware of one of their own, Timothy. And so as the missionaries came through, as they sought to teach and as they sought to minister, the brethren in the church said, "Have you seen, have you witnessed this gentleman by the name of Timothy?" And Paul added him to the ministry team, which involved being circumcised. Wow. Would I have wanted to step onto that team, to have to go through that, to be able to be involved in that team? That was a big commitment. But the church there, it was almost like they were encouraging Paul to be aware of this young gentleman. It was not an optional call for Barnabas and Saul. It was a command that God was giving to them to go, but he did not mention where they were to go. He just says, "I want them to go." By the laying on of their hands, they were extending their blessing, but also their support. They sent them out, but the next verse states that it was the Holy Spirit who sent them out. And the ministry of the Antioch church was a work that was governed by the Holy Spirit, as Barnabas and Saul, and them going out as well. They were being sent out to work. They were heading down a road that would not be easy, but would involve toil. There was no delay in their departure as they headed down to the port city of Seleucia and sailed to Cyprus. And maybe we would have said, "Well, God, how about I first reach this support level, and then I will determine, then that's my time to go." But it's almost like they just by faith sought and moved out. There was no delay in their departure, and they headed down to the port city of Seleucia. Cyprus may have been their choice because Barnabas was familiar with that area. And so why not go to an area where there's some familiarity to be involved in? And yes, they need the gospel in that area as well. They began their ministry in the synagogues of the Jews, but when they rejected the message, they carried the message to the Gentiles. The audience they sought to minister to was not much different from what they had seen in Antioch, but also not much different from our day and age as well. God was well able, the Holy Spirit was well able to empower them to be able to share the gospel in a difficult situation, as he is with us today as well. We can boldly go where God calls us and where God has placed us because of the ministry, because of the work of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives as well. If we but simply say, "God, I'm in your hands. You open the doors. You empower me with the opportunity to open my mouth to share what you place there." And if God would allow us to be faithful in the places that he has placed us, we might see him do a work in and through us as well. They had to buy a ticket to be able to sail to Cyprus. The finances to purchase the ticket would have come from the Antioch church. They were heavily involved, and Paul and Barnabas in ministry would have been doing that 7 days a week, involved in ministry. Yes, Paul often sought opportunities to not be a burden to the church, but I'm sure that the Antioch church would have sent them out with resources available as part of their team members. In Acts 14, 26 to 28, it says, "They returned to their sending church and reported to them all that God had done with them, and they spent much time with the disciples." They finished his first missionary journey, and before they began the second missionary journey, they spent much time with the disciples in the Antioch church. Because I'm sure that they realized that the Antioch church was part of their ministry, part of their team. And so they wanted to share with them all that God had done in and through them over the previous, I believe, 2 years that they were out. Paul and Barnabas continued to be an extension of the ministry of the Antioch church, and the disciples at Antioch were part of their team in carrying the gospel into Asia. One of the ministries that God gave to the local church was the ministry of separating out the ones that he calls. And God is still calling out individuals to go and calling the church to set them apart and to send them out. The Great Commission, which we're all familiar with, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age." As that command was given to the early church, that command is still relates to us yet today. That we, the disciples, we his children, are still called to go out and make disciples. And one day God is going to ask, how do we do with the commands that he gave us? What a joy it would be like for the church in Lystra and Iconium and be able to speak well of individuals who have been influential in our midst and see them go out in the calling of the Spirit to the glory of God. If we, the church, would say, wow, that person has been heavily involved, that person has been growing in the Lord, and we see significant growth in their lives, and we feel led of the Lord that maybe God has something greater for them, and to encourage them to step out in faith and maybe go to wherever God has for them. We've seen that in our church through the years. But oh, that we might have others who come up through our midst, that we might encourage them to go as well. One of the terms that we use in missions is a term that we call member care. The role of those who God has called to remain is to care for our teammates. And one of the ways we can do this is to pick up one of those world prayer guides that we have at the information booth in the back. And in there we have the names of our missionaries, but we also have their email addresses. That you might take something like that, and maybe you have some other means, and that's great if you have another means to be able to use. That you can systematically pray for our missionaries. Or maybe God can lay upon your heart and says that I'm going to make a commitment that I'm going to pray for this missionary, or I'm going to pray for so many of our missionaries on a regular basis as part of our regular habitual prayer time. Oh, that God would call us to, as a church, to be teammates who are praying and consistently praying for our missionaries. Or maybe how about writing them? And the email addresses are in that same book as well. And if you can't afford $5, then just go there before the Lord and take one of those books, as long as you commit before the Lord that you're going to be faithfully praying for them. When they come back from their trips, have them over and listen to their stories. Oh, that we would have people who would actually sit and listen with a heart to hear, to understand. I know that one of the challenges of us coming home from the field was we didn't think that too many people actually cared to listen to our story. So what we do is we just shut it up and shut it down and buried it. Oh, that we would be a church that when all of a sudden we have our missionaries come back, I want to hear your story and what God did through your years there. And just listen with a heart to hear, not a heart to overcome or to give suggestions, but that we might people be listening. They need somebody willing to do soul care with them. Sometimes the trials that they've gone through, the struggles, they need to be able to talk it out with somebody. And oh, that you might have opportunity to walk with them in that. If they mention needs, beseech the Lord if you can be one of those who help with their needs. Yes, they have needs, and often humble means, God, would you provide an opportunity for me to be able to meet that need? You can also give a word of blessing and maybe sharing with them something that God has taught you or encouraged you with. And even when you write to them, what do I write about? How about you share what God has been talking to you about and how he has been leading in your life as a means of blessing them? This caring will bless them, but also us as their teammates. May we come to understand the calling of God upon our lives. God's call is for some to go. And oh, that they would be faithful to the calling of God. And I remember a story of a couple from my home church who sensed God's call to the mission field. And they said, well, now's not the right time to go. And so they waited. And in the waiting, they never did go to the mission field. Their actual marriage broke up. And we're never able to actually go. Not sure that's the case, but I'm not sure in the waiting what all would have happened. But if God's calling you today to do big things, to go out, respond to that call. Start moving. And in Paul's life, that was 10 years wait. And in God's mind, that wasn't a long time. Those 10 years were years of preparation as well in going out. And sometimes I think God's call for me to be a pastor of this church led me to the mission field in preparation as well. and that I wasn't ready back then. And God had to call me to 13 years in Papua New Guinea to ready me for this time this morning. Oh, God's work in each of our lives, that we might be ones that go, but if that's not what God has called us to, may we answer the call of God to be those who seek to provide and minister to those who do go. Let's just close this time in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace in each of our lives, the opportunities that you give to us. And there's many here this morning that you've called into the work world and the mission field that is all around us, and thank you for your grace in their lives. But Heavenly Father, if you're calling some from our midst this morning, that Heavenly Father, that they might answer the call, and we as the church might seek to be that encouragement to them to go, and might respond as I want to be a faithful team member to them. And so I pray this in your name. Amen.